I'm not going to sing this, and I'm not going to dance, okay? So, we are family. That's our theme. You guys actually got that. That was great. We are family. We're going to talk about that for the next few weeks. Today, we're talking about who are you, and then next week, we'll talk about who are we, and then the following, who am I? Who are you? I don't know about you. Just kind of look around a little bit, if you would. Just look around at the congregation. Okay, this is Labor Day. I know how Labor Day is. Usually we don't have it, you know, side to side, front to back. Usually there's a few folks that come in. Everybody's camping, and I know a lot of people are camping. In fact, we could have stayed a couple more days. We were up at Houghton Lake just enjoying the beautiful weather, and we had to come back because you would be here. And look at you folks. I mean, I'm looking around, and it's great to have you here. But the one thing you ever notice, you walk in and you go, who is everybody? There's people here I just don't know. It's happened all summer. And it's just growing. And as it's growing, you ever do that? And you just, have you walked up to someone yet and go, hi, it's nice to meet you. Is this your first Sunday? And they say, oh, I've been here for about 2 months. That might be embarrassing for you. Try being the pastor. I walked up to a couple 2 weeks ago, and I walked up and said, hello. I said, is this your first Sunday? And they said, oh, we've been here 5 weeks. And I went, oh, okay. This happens to me a lot. And it's okay. You have to ask, right? Because, you know, you only get a few seconds to say hello in church. And then after that, everybody's kind of making their way, and they're talking and, you know, congregating and doing their things. It's hard as a family. This is our family. This is Grace Family. And so whether you were here 3 years ago when we kicked off, or whether you've only been here for 5 weeks and you're new, we're all new here. We're all a part of Grace. And if you call this home, whether you're a member or an attender, this is Grace. This is our home. It's our family. It's hard. I don't do well with names. I don't know if it was the 60s, but I don't do well with names. All right. I'm getting some amens. I'm glad to have you with me, because all I know is... I'm terrible with names. If I forget your name, understand this, my children, I forget their names at times. Some of you, you with me? All right? I just go through the whole list with my kids. I start at the top and work my way through. Andrew Rubbins, you know who you are. I know where you live. And that's all that's important. I know you've done that, right? You've done that with your kids. If you're a parent, you've done this before. Okay? Now, I do this all the time, and I don't worry. My wife and I, when we got married almost 25 years ago, we got married. We met in Oklahoma. We got married here in Michigan. My family is in South Dakota. So when we got married here, we had a honeymoon in Mount Pleasant. That was a wonderful time, Mount Pleasant. I've been there once. And then we left the next day. And then we went up to this cabin up in the UP. Beautiful setting. Then we went over to my family's. We drove across, had that beautiful drive through the UP, dropped into Minnesota, North Dakota, and down to my family. And they had a family get-together or a reception, wedding reception for us. And while we were there at the church, they set this up. Now, I had been out of high school for several years, 4 years, and been in Oklahoma and other places. And so I'd only get home when I could get home. We're there, and I have to tell you, my Uncle Ed is an interesting character. He lived to be about 103. And I say my Uncle Ed, my great, great Uncle Ed. And neat guy. I still have a hunting bag from him that he was a leather maker, and he hand-stitched and made me this hunting bag. And I remember hunting with him when he was 91 years old. Uncle Ed, great guy. Had this big knot on his head, and I don't know if he could remember anything, but he seemed to do pretty well. He'd stand on the end of the corn row with a single shot shotgun, and we'd push the birds. And I remember 91 years old, him out there with a gun and going, birds, huh, birds, and they just fly right on over him. Great guy, just loved Uncle, just a neat guy, lived to be 103. And his sister, Aunt Ida, lived to be 105 and very active. Still drove. I mean, he drove out there hunting. We went back, and we're sitting in the church, and I'm introducing her to family and friends at the church, at the reception, and up comes this guy, and I said, Susan, I'd like you to meet my Uncle Ed. And this guy looks at me, and he goes, I ain't your Uncle Ed. It wasn't my Uncle Ed. He was an old gentleman, and he looked just like my Uncle Ed, without the bump. I thought, oh, he lost his bump. He goes, I ain't your Uncle Ed. And I went, oh, I just introduced her to the wrong person. I said, what'd you do with my Uncle Ed? I didn't know what to do. I was embarrassed. Here's some guy from the church just randomly, and I'm just introducing him to his family. I have no idea who this guy is. Still don't know to this day who I introduced her to, but it wasn't Uncle Ed. You ever have that happen to you? I walked up to someone in church one day, or someone in the community one day, here in town, and I was passing over at Hillside, and this guy said, we got to talking about religion. He says, oh, I go to church. I said, oh, you go to church? He goes, yeah, I go over to Hillside. I said, really? Really? And he goes, yeah. I go, oh, you go over there? He goes, yeah, I know all kinds of people over there. I go, really? He goes, yeah. That pastor Steve guy, I know him. I go, really? He goes, yeah, do you go to church? I go, oh, yeah, I go over there too. I'm thinking, I don't know how often he goes. I have no idea who the guy was. He goes over to that church too where I was pastor. It was kind of, hello. You can get going in a church and really not know the people in the church. I don't know how big is too big. Or how small is too small. Some people say, you know what, I like a nice small church where I know everybody. Some people say, I like a real big church where I don't know anybody. And I just like to come in anonymously and just kind of do my thing. I don't know what's too big. I don't know what's too small. I do know this, that this is our family. We are family. But who are you people? I know some of you too well. Don't look behind you, Jim. I know some of you okay, and I know I don't know some of you hardly at all, and I'm looking forward to it. Some of you I see too often, some of you I don't see enough. But your family. Your family, your church family. Who are you? Well, the Scripture talks about that. And here it is. It's so easy to walk into church and not know anybody. In the Scripture, Peter talks about here, he says, you are a church. And Jesus is your cornerstone, your family. And I love what he says in verse 9. You're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. So who are you people? Well, for my wife and I and my kids, you're our family. As a church, we're family. And I don't know if you know it, the people sitting next to you are family. I don't know if you like your family. I don't know if we should compare this to your family. I don't know what your family is like. So that could be a good thing and that could be a bad thing. Well, here's what he says. The first thing he says is, you are a people, in verse 10, belonging to God. And I thought about having a nice chair up here and just sitting for a minute because I didn't want to preach a sermon this morning. I want you to know that you have a family name. It's called Christian. That's what makes you family. Because you're a Christian, we have family. We have the same Father spiritually. We have the Heavenly Father. We are family. Every one of you are family with me. And we're related in that sense. Now, I don't know if that's good or bad, but I love this. There was a time when I didn't have this family called Christian. But in Genesis, I'm so thankful that God does this. In Genesis, it says this. It is not good for man to be alone. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad I don't have to be alone. I'm glad I have a church family. And that should be a good thing. Listen, having a church family is not always a good thing in some situations. And that's a sad thing that it's not a good thing. Do you understand what I'm talking about? I know I meet with people all the time and they've had really bad experiences in church where they say, I don't feel welcome. And that is a very sad thing. Diane was sharing with me, and Diane, if I could for just a minute. Diane's our shepherd's ministry leader. And Diane, one of the things, she came to me and she said, Pastor, would you stand up for just a second? This is Diane. Everybody say hi, Diane. This is your family, all right? It's okay to do this. This is going to make some people really nervous right now. He's off the pulpit with a live mic. For some of you, that's very comfortable. For some of you, that might make you a little nervous. Diane came to me and she said, it's hard sometimes to fit in, to get into the church. And we got to talking about it one day, and she said it was hard for her She saw all the activity and the people and the congregation kind of congregating, getting together in groups. And how do we get in to the church? See, it's one thing to attend the church. It's another thing to get in. And it says, you are a people belonging to God, which makes us relatives. We are related. And it's not just by our name. Diane, it's not just that you and I are Christians. It's that you and I have something more than that. See, if it was just the name, there are people who have the same name that I go to family reunions with that I have absolutely nothing in common with. And I go to one side of my family's reunion once every 5 years. That's probably enough. You have any family members like that? I know that, Uncle Mike that sticks firecrackers in his brother's pants and then lights them. I'm thinking, I'm related to this guy. And then all the other stuff that goes on at family reunions, and I'm just kind of sitting back going, I don't think I fit in here real well. The partying starts. You know, people start using language and telling off-color jokes and kind of getting out of their minds with alcohol and other things. And there's times at some of those family reunions, I just look and I go, there are some people here, we might have the same name, but we don't have anything in common. And as a Christian, it's not that you are a Christian. Just because you name the name of Christ doesn't make you family. It's because you've received the blood of Christ that makes you family. You see, because you have a different set of values, the Bible says, you once, in verse 10, once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You know what I have in common with every one of you? Is every one of us believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that all of us by ourselves were lost and empty and hopeless, but somewhere along the line, God sent His own Son. He became flesh in a baby form, born, here it is, of a virgin 2,000 years ago, raised up, was crucified on a cross, buried in a tomb, sealed by a king, and then came back from death to life. We share that in common. What a bunch of crazy family members we have. What an awesome family this is. You and I share something in common. We believe that to live is Christ, but to die is gain. You and I believe that, and that makes us family. You and I believe that Jesus Christ, when He went into heaven, He says, in My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But it is true. And I go there to prepare a place for you. We're going to live together in that city as a family for a long, long time. And you know what church is? Church is learning to get along with your family members. Because we're going to live together a long time. Now, I know heaven's a big place. But we're going to bump into each other a lot. My family's going to be there. My mom and dad are going to be there. My sister's already there. She's already decorating. She is. We believe this. We have this in common. It's not because we name the name of that we're Christians. It's because we live the life of Christ. That's what makes us family. We have a lot in common. We believe that right is right and wrong is wrong. Amen? We believe that there's an enemy that wars against our soul, and it's in our flesh that he uses that to try to draw us into sin. We believe that Christ died for our sins. Amen? Amen. We believe more than that, that Christ rose again from the dead. That's good news. Who are you, people? You're an interesting group. You're welders, you're teachers, you're lawyers, you're doctors, you're retired, you're just starting out, you're school attendees, your laborers, your bums. There's no freeloaders here, right? We might have used to be. You know, I look at this group and say, what are the odds of getting this group of people together in one common place? I know how to get you out of one common place. I can start talking politics. I could start talking religion. I could start talking certain things, and I know how I can divide you. But isn't it amazing what brings us together? Isn't it amazing that you got up this morning out of your bed to get together with a group of people, which, by the way, you know probably not 80% of the people in this room, and yet you gathered together to sing songs and to open up your heart to a God to worship, and you came together. Who are you people? Teenagers who got dragged here by their parents and threatened by the very threat of their life to please behave in church this morning. Oh, wait, let's reverse that. That's a stereotype. Teens who threatened their parents to go to church this morning and hoping their parents would behave. We're up at 7 a.m. telling their mom and dad, get up, it's almost time for church. Who are you people? You're my family. Like it or not, you're my family. Like it or not, you're each other's family. You know what's amazing about this family is the Bible talks about a word called koinonia. And it's a wonderful Greek word. It says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all of our unrighteousness. Here it is. If we walk in the light, you and I, we walk in the light of God. And we walk in that light. That's the righteousness. We don't walk in the darkness. That's what we used to do. Now we walk in this. And it says, we have fellowship. It's a beautiful word, koinonia. It doesn't mean having the last name of. It means having the same spirit of. Because you and I are born of God, we are in a family. And we have koinonia. We have a lot in common. We probably should be crying at the things that break God's heart. And we ought to be laughing at the things that make God laugh. We ought to have the heart of God. Have you ever thought about that? What makes God cry? What makes God laugh? I don't know about you, but I can turn on the news almost any day and my heart is broken. I can turn on other things and my heart rejoices when I see good things happen. You think God is rejoicing with us? You think God is weeping with us? Why? Because we have koinonia. We have the same spirit within us that God has placed, and that we share the same things in common. That's what God does. Here's what I'm going to do that's going to make you feel very uncomfortable. I could use some of that We Are Family music here in just a second, but I'm going to need it in a low tone. Here's what I'd like to do. And for some of you, this may scare you half to death. But I thought, you know, here we are in this church. We only get about 30 seconds to maybe say hi as we walk in and out. We have the greeting time at the beginning where we shake hands. And you shake hands with the same people you've been sitting around for the last several weeks. And you haven't moved. Some of you, I know exactly where you're going to sit every Sunday. And if we can get placards, we'll go ahead and put your name on the chair. You might even walked in one Sunday and said, somebody's in our seat. What are we going to do? Go up and kick them out. No. You've just found a home, and you found your favorite recliner. That's what you've done. But here's what I'd like you to do now. That might make you feel very uncomfortable. But if we can't do this in our family, how can we do this anywhere else? I would like you to take 2 or 3 minutes and go meet someone and find out something. Who are you? How long have you been here? Where'd you come from? Uh-oh. What were those questions again? I don't know. Go say hello to someone and meet them. Now, some of you are sitting there thinking, there is no way I'm getting up out of my chair. Fine, I want you to stay seated because not everybody should get up. Then we'll have nobody seated. Those of you that are seated, everyone that sees someone seated, go say hi. Now, they tell me in the books on church growth, you should never do this, make people feel uncomfortable in church. Well, we threw that out a long time ago. Because if we can't be comfortable meeting someone in church, so here we go. We're going to put We Are Family on for a minute. I want you to go meet at least one person or one family and introduce yourself. Go ahead. Stand up and just go meet someone. Greeting time. Go say hello.
How you doing? What's your name again? Yeah, he's so cute.
I'm going to go meet someone here. How are you?
Hi, good. And you?
I'm good.
Hi.
And you are?
Jacqueline.
What?
Jacqueline.
We've met before.
Yes.
Oh, let me shut this off. There we go. And?
Kirk.
Kirk. I'm going to probably do that 5 or 6 times. Now, how many times have we met, or how often have you guys been here?
A little over a year.
A little over a year, okay. Off and on for a little over a year.
9 months for me.
9 months, yeah. Okay. And where do you guys, I mean, how did you guys discover Grace? Weston.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Yeah, and the hard part for me is, I mean, you know, meet so many so often. And I try to tell people, say, you know what, we ought to go out and just get a lunch sometime, because it's easier to take an hour than it is to take 30 seconds.
Yeah.
So you guys went to Cornerstone together, so you guys have that background. Now, how do you guys know each other?
Brother and sister.
Your brother and sister.
Yeah.
Oh, that's excellent. Well, and you guys still live at home?
No.
No, he, well, no. He used to live in the same house.
I just got married. I've been married
Congratulations. Well, okay. Just, yeah.
Yeah.
Still on that honeymoon.
Yeah.
I'm still going to school. So.
Where do you go to school at?
Walsh College.
Oh, great. And what town is that in?
Do it online.
Wow.
Wow.
You're busy. What are you going
to
be?
Bachelor's in finance.
That's what my wife does. A lot in common. That's great. Well, it's nice to see you guys again. God bless you guys. Well, hello, Trina. How are you? Good to see you. Yeah. Hi, Mary. Look at these guys.
Hey, who are you?
Joe Love.
Joe Love?
Yep.
No, I'm Mitch Olson. What's your name?
Joe Love.
Don't keep calling me Joe Love.
Joe Love.
You know your mic's still on.
Yep, yep.
And,
yeah.
Hey.
Well, I think I've lost complete control. Why don't we have everybody kind of make their way back in? You guys did very well. See, now I don't want to stop this. If we had some food, we'd be set for lunch. Well, let's... All right. I'm going to have to ask my intern to have a seat back here. Ron Green, you guys are going to have to find a chair, my friend. And Neil, Neil's probably over there selling golf balls or something. Now, that wasn't so painful, was it? Let me ask this. How many of you, by a show of hands, how many of you just met someone that you didn't know before? Look around. Doesn't that tell you that we need to meet our family? How many of you think you might like the person that you just... No, don't do... Yeah, the person next to you is going, they didn't raise their hand. Oh... I have absolutely, my wife and I mean, you get to know us because certainly as the minister, we're up here, I'm up here every week, and my family is up here in spirit or in an illustration every week. And it's probably not fair to them as a preacher's family. But we certainly do want to get to know people, and how hard it is to really try to spend even 30 seconds getting to know you. And after that 30 seconds, you go home for 7 days of the week and you go, now, I know we met so-and-so, and what were their names again? And we get a little piece. Well, the Bible says who we are, that we were once a people, but we're also a royal priesthood, a people belonging to God. And what I did this morning, what I wanted to cover this morning on Labor Day, is in this series is these gold cards. I know I've done this before. To those of you that have ever filled one of these out, I have to say this morning, I'm sorry. The reason being, some people have signed up, and this is what happens in church so often. They've filled one of these things out, and nothing was done with it. And so to that, I apologize, because, you know, we try to get people involved with our ministry. The first side of it just says, who you are. You know what? As a church, we would love to know who you are. You might assume that you've been here for 6 months and we have your information. We now have a gal, Lindsay, in the front office who helps out with all of our gals in the front office. And we're trying to just say, we want to know who everyone is. And we would love to have you fill that out. We're trying to save postage. You know, we find that every month we have almost 400 families on our website. Every month. That's a good thing. That saves postage. A lot of postage. And it's neat because we can do better graphics online than we could do trying to post it together and piece it together and send it out in a newsletter. But if you'll fill that out, and if you have an email, we would love to have your email so that we can save money. But we'd love to have you fill out that side. Who are you? That would be helpful to know who you are. And get your photograph taken, because I guarantee you, I talked to somebody this morning and said, hi, and how long have you been here? And when you said a year, I went, oh, of course, here we go. I'm looking for people I don't know. And it's a year of 30 seconds going, hello, kind of stuff. And I want to change that, and certainly it'll help me. I'm in here all week long. If I could look at those pictures, I could certainly do that. Because here's what happens to my wife and I. We'll walk through the mall, and it's so hard. As we're walking through the mall and we're doing stuff, I don't know if you're from Grace necessarily, if I see you in a different venue. And sometimes I've walked through the mall, and people have come up to me the next week and said, Pastor, you were really just stuck up. You didn't say hello. I said, where did I see you? You walked right by us in the mall. Or in Myers or something. I go, I'm sorry, I wasn't even focused. I didn't have that hat on. So now, since that happened a couple years ago, since that happened, when I'm walking, if anybody makes eye contact with me, I go, hi, how are ya? I don't even know if I know them. But I'm thinking, if I don't, somebody's going to be upset that the pastor is. I've done this, and people will walk by, and you can see the conversations afterward. Why did that guy say hi to us? Who was that guy? I don't know. Do you know him? You know? We just try to say hi to everybody at this point. So we'd love to do the photos out there. The other thing just to understand is here at Grace, if you're part of the family, I'm just going to set the notes down here for a second. If you're a part of Grace, we want to let you know, if you're part of the family, in my home, if you're part of the family, you have chores. Did I just hear a moan over here? And I recognize that moan. Wait a minute. We all have chores. And we do. And the kids go, oh, it's part of being a part of a family. You have chores. Whether it's the dishes or mowing the lawn or the bathrooms or the garbage. We all have chores. We're part of a family. You probably do that in your home. If you don't do that and you just stay and you eat and you're 30 years old, mom and dad might kick you out. It's called freeloading. In the church, we call it attendance. Uh-oh. We're family here, okay? Let me explain myself. Let me explain, Lucy. What I mean by that is, as a church, so often people attend and they don't participate. Does that make sense? And I don't want to say this in a bad way, but when we started Grace 3 years ago, we said our goal is that everyone that calls Grace home has a place that they wake up and they enjoy their chores because they know they're being part of that family and they're making a difference. And one of the things is not every chore has to be a chore, but chores are chores. Rock picking on the farm is not the funnest thing to do at 103 degrees on the front end of a loader on a tractor with the dust flying in your face, but you do it because you want the harvest. And in the church, some things aren't so fun, but you want the harvest. And so we put on the back just things you might want to be interested in at Grace. And we know there are so many different ministries. They're listed there, from carpentry to painting, children's ministry Wednesday, volunteer secretaries, prayer team, nursery. I will say this. The reason I apologized earlier is because we had this, but we had nowhere to send these. We now have a team called .com, Council of Ministry. Our .coms are, we have leaders over all of these ministries. And if you fill this out and say, you know what, I'd love to get a phone call, know more about this, you will get a phone call this week. This is going to our .com people. Okay? They will get a hold of you. to do that. So if you want to be a part of a ministry, I know those chores are very important because that's what families do. Those of you that grew up on farms, you know how important chores are. And everybody pulls their own weight. I like what the Bible says. He who doesn't work doesn't eat. That's what the Scripture says. And boy, if we live by that in our society, I don't know. Maybe we'd have more labor. I don't think we'd have less eaters. We'd just have more labor. Finally, I want to say this. That in all of this, I think it's important for us to understand as a church of who are you, that not only are you a people belonging to God, you're a royal priesthood that we should get involved in, but the Bible says you're aliens and strangers. Now, it didn't say you're strange, it said you're strangers, okay? What that means is we live differently. There's something unique. Years ago, as we dismiss, let me close it this way. Years ago, I was with a young man who's a pastor, a minister. He's over in Holland now. And we were talking about it, and he said, you know, Mitch, I think that every single person that you ever meet has the breath of God, or at least an element of God within them. As we were doing the study on that premise, I agree. The Bible says in Genesis that God has breathed His Spirit into every human being. That's what gives us life. That's what makes us eternal. He said, you know what our job is? I said, what's that? And he had a lot of wisdom in this. He says, we're treasure hunters. Really? He says, I think every person that you meet has a treasure in them. Every single person. You may not know it, but they have a treasure. And our job as pastors is to find the treasure of God within them. And so we're to draw that out. It's amazing when you meet people what you learn. What I love, you just met each other. You probably learned at least one thing. You may not know a whole lot about the people you just met, but the more time you spend with them, I guarantee you you'll find out some unique things. I found out some unique things over the last couple of years about some of you that I think is neat. We have within our congregation a belly dancer. I find that to be unique. And she shared that with the congregation. She's on our board. I said, I don't know how many boards have belly dancers. Now, she doesn't do this at the board meeting. I said, well, that's neat. My mom did belly dancing, which as a kid, I don't know if that was the best thing for your friends to say, hey, your mom's a belly dancer. But it was a great exercise. You don't know that about people in the congregation. There's some treasures to know about things, about people. There's a gentleman I found out, he's been going to this church for 3 years. I did not know this. I said, I haven't seen you in a few weeks. He says, oh, we were gone. He says, I took an enduro motorcycle. This is a businessman that wears a suit every day. He says, I took a motorcycle. I just did a 700-mile dirt bike motorcycle trek in Michigan. I had no idea. I said, that's kind of a neat thing. There's another gentleman that is one of these quiet, I don't know if you can say it goes together, quiet postmen. Postal worker, and he rides mountain bikes, and he races them professionally. So I didn't know that about him until recently. It's amazing what you find, the treasures that you find about people as you get to know them. I hope that you understand that every person that you meet has a treasure that God has placed inside of them. And if there's one thing I've discovered is every person has something within them that's worth getting to know. Every person does. Not some, not most. I believe every human being has something wonderful that we can discover about them if we take the time to get to know who you are. I hope you'll take time to get to know who we are at Grace. Next week, we're going to unveil Mom's side of the family and Dad's side of the family here at Grace. I think you'll really enjoy that. And you're going to learn a whole lot more about who we are here at Grace. Would you stand with me, please?